This morning on WCHL, the author of the book Tarnished Heels isn't talking.
Maybe they're trying to pique the curiosity of people exactly what's in it.
Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools says the only way to limit new construction costs is with money from the county to repair and add to the buildings that are already in place.
$750,000 in planning money so that we're shovel ready if and when the bond referendum occurs.
And we'll check in with Boston Marathon runner and WCHL General Manager Jan Bullock before the 118th running of the world-renowned race. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, Carolina baseball held off the sweep by the number one team of the country with a Game 3 victory yesterday. Plus, the UNC men's track and field team fell just shy of its first conference title in more than a decade. And
it's been a long year, but Boston is ready for the marathon.
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:06 at WCHL. We have 43 degrees in Chapel Hill, 42 this morning in Carborough, 42 in Hillsborough. Sunny skies today, beautiful weather on the way, high today in the low 70s. Big chance of rain tomorrow afternoon, but let's not worry about that now. Officials say security is tight for the Boston Marathon, to say the least. State and local officials are hoping for a safe but still enjoyable day for the 36,000 runners planning to participate in the Boston Marathon and the hundreds of thousands of spectators. 1 year after two homemade bombs killed three people and wounded more than 260 others, the Boston Marathon returns to the streets for its 118th edition today. Last hour, you heard Art Chansky of Chapelboro.com and host of Art Chansky's Sports Notebook on WCHL, with WCHL and Chapelboro.com interim general manager Jan Bullock live in Boston to talk about what they've seen pre-race and what they expect today. Once again, here is that interview.
I am here with Jan Bullock just before the beginning of the 118th Boston Marathon, and Jan is actually getting ready to get on her bus and bus out to Hopkinton for the starting line. And Jan, before you go, congratulations for being back in the marathon. There's 9,000 more runners this year than last. And so far, what's been different? I know there were a lot of plans for things to be different. What have you noticed since you've been here?
Well, of course, a lot of security measures have changed. The main thing is no bags anywhere, understandably so. And that's tough, a little bit tough for runners because they go to the starting line about 2 to 3 hours in advance. And last year, for example, we were all encouraged to bring books and cards and iPads and food and extra clothes and just anything at all to pass the time. And then when it is time to go to the starting line, we could hand our bag in and it was bused back to Boston to the finish line and waiting for us when we arrived. And this year, of course, we can't take any bags. In fact, we can't take anything to the starting line that we can't hold in our hands. Also, no runners can wear packs or vests with pockets or baggy clothes or hoods. No costumes or masks are allowed. And last year there were runners dressed as everything from a hot dog to a hamburger to just things that really made it fun for everyone in the race and also watching. The no bag rule applies to spectators too, of course. No backpacks, no rolling carts or glass containers, and makes it hard to make a day of it the way many people do. Understandable, of course, but it's just new rules.
There's been a great outpouring of love and support for all the marathon victims from last year and all of those of you who have come back to run. And again, tell us about some of those.
So many people, from the Boston Athletic Association to volunteers from actually all over the world, have put a lot of thought and love into making this a special time. When we arrived on Friday over near the finish line, we went to pick up our race packets, and a woman walked up and offered a hand-knit scarf in the beautiful Boston Marathon blue and yellow, and I thought that she wanted me to buy it, and it turns out that the church had an idea of knitting these scarves to wrap the runners with love and courage, and they put out the word to others, and within a few months, they collected 7,000 handmade scarves from 40 states and 10 countries, all in the beautiful yellow and blue, all handmade in a different pattern. Mine was made by someone in Bellingham, Washington. And a little handwritten note on it said, woven with love and courage.
And they're really beautiful. And also along the race route itself, there have been all kinds of mementos of in blue and yellow as well, right?
Yes. We started noticing right away that there were lots of pots of daffodils wrapped in blue foil, and many of them had labels that said, be strong. Sometimes they were like huge sweeps of daffodils planted along the road, and later we learned that these had all been planted by school children back in the fall in preparation for the marathon. And so each of those, it just was like, wow, look at the love that went into this. But then a few minutes later, we went into the Race Expo and enjoying the festive atmosphere, and had only been there about 5 minutes, and alarms went off and we were told to evacuate. So there was this immediate, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. It went from love to alert. And it kind of went that way the rest of the day as we walked down the street. And, you know, first you would see the lovely yellow daffodils, and then right next to it was a motorcade from the Boston Police Special Forces. And then you'd look a few more feet and there would be more daffodils. And then there would be police officers on bicycles, and then more daffodils and more police officers and bomb-sniffing dogs, and then more scarves to wrap runners in love and courage. And after about 2 to 3 blocks, the theme in my head was that it was just love on alert.
Hmm. Well, it's a beautiful day in Boston. The temperature's going to get up close to 70, and I know you're ready to go. So I know you got to run, so we wish you a lot of luck, and cross that finish line with a big smile on your face.
That's right. Everybody's out there with the goal to be strong.
Thanks. That's Jan Bolick from the 118th running of the Boston Marathon, just before she hears the gun to go off.
Love on alert. That's good, Jan. That fits perfectly. Once again, that's Art Chansky and Jan Bolick in Boston. Jan was not able to finish the marathon last year. She was a couple of miles away from the finish line when the bombing took place. She and her sister returned this year to Boston to finish the race with many others. As you heard Art mention, 36,000 runners signed up for the Boston Marathon this year. That's 9,000 more than last year. 1 million spectators are expected in Boston, twice as many as last year. And the police force is double what it was last year. Tune in to the afternoon and evening news with Aaron Keck here on WCHL between 3 and 6 p.m. today to hear from runners after the race. We have a lot of folks with the Chapel Hill connections who are there. Shalane Flanagan, former Carolina runner, All-American, Olympian. She is there. She could possibly be the number one woman in the entire race, finishing first. And Alan Bedour, Judge Alan Bedour, and others are there participating, and we hope to speak with some of them after the race today. The author of the book Tarnished Heels, How Unethical Actions and Deliberate Deceit at the University of North Carolina Ended the Carolina Way, isn't ready to talk about the book until the release date gets closer. WCHL's Rand Northam has more on the story.
The book by Rom J. Anderson hit Amazon.com in early April and releases June 15th. Anderson's agent, Barbara Casey, who attended UNC, NC State, and North Carolina Wesleyan, told WCHL that he won't be scheduling interviews until after the release. However, she said he and his publisher will be doing pre-release publicity once the release date gets closer. Anderson says on his blog that he's collaborated on a number of writing projects, but it appears that this is the first book he has authored. Art Chansky of Chapelboro.com and host of Art Chansky Sports Notebook on WCHL has written 5 books and is getting ready to come out with his 6th. He has also played a major role in the publishing process of one of his books along with 3 others.
Particularly if you've written a series of books in the past, the publishers will try and capitalize on the author's name by having him on, and that would sort of build momentum for the new book. With Anderson being a new author, I don't know how much value that would have.
Anderson has been spreading the word about his book through his Twitter handle, at Rob J. Anderson Books, and on Facebook. Most recently, he has pointed out the precise sections of the book in which UNC African and Afro-American administrator Deborah Crowder appears. However, the blog doesn't share what the book says about Crowder. Chansky says it's hard to guess why Anderson and the people he's collaborating with on the book have decided not to release much information about the book right now.
Maybe they're trying to pique the curiosity of people exactly what's in it. Or maybe they're afraid that people will see it and say, oh, this is just a rehash, you know, we've already read this. you know, in the News and Observer and 45 other websites over and over again. You can have a kiss of death, too, to a book before it ever comes out. If it gets out, that is really nothing special about it.
Dave Ridpath is an associate professor and Kahandas Nadola Professor of Sports Administration at Ohio University. He is one of the authors of The Drake Group, which was started in 1999 by a former professor of Drake University. Its website says its mission is to defend academic integrity in higher education from the corrosive aspects of commercialized college sports. Ridpath joined us last week on WCHL to talk about what academic improprieties he's seen in his years of academia. He reviewed Tarnished Heels and said the book tells the story UNC sold its soul for the perceived benefits of athletic glory at the expense of core values and academic integrity. He goes on to say that those actions put Carolina among the worst offenders of academic integrity in intercollegiate athletic history. Anderson's agent, Casey, told WCHL to get in touch again closer to the release date in order to speak with the author. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The Chapel Hill Town Council could vote tonight on a controversial plan to rezone 190 acres surrounding the Ephesus Church Fordham Boulevard intersection. If the plan is adopted, the area would represent the town's first experiment with a new type of development approval process known as form-based code. Using form-based code, the council will set parameters for development, including building height, setbacks, and parking guidelines for each new zone. But once these are in place, individual developers won't need to bring their projects before the council if they meet the established criteria. The rezoning is the first step of the process of approving the Ephesus Fordham Renewal Plan, which seeks to address traffic and stormwater problems in the area while also inviting commercial and residential redevelopment. But critics worry the plan will not improve the area's longstanding problems with congestion and flooding, and they say form-based code will cut the public and elected officials out of the development approval process. In addition to considering approval of the Ephesus Fordham plan, the council will also hold a public hearing on next year's budget. The meeting will begin tonight at 7 o'clock at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road in Chapel Hill. We'll talk about the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, budgeting, etc., coming up in just a moment on WCHL. It is 8:16. Time now for traffic and weather together, and this traffic report is brought to you by Fifth Season Gardening. Organic gardening, homebrew, hydroponics, cheese making, and much more at their downtown Carborough store. Fifth Season, not your garden variety gardening store. Fifth Season right there behind Glass Half Full in Carborough. Now with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. We are seeing more slowdowns now. Of course, we are fully into rush hour, 15501 northbound and southbound between Garrett Road and down to about Ephesus Church Road, Estes Drive, even down that far, 15501 northbound, right around NC 86 to NC 54 as well, seeing some slowdowns. You might see some slowdowns on I-40 right now as well, especially right around the Durham Freeway area. That area always gets a little bit more hairy at this time of day. And no major accidents or no accidents being reported, no major delays out there right now either, just the usual suspects. But if you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again in just a little while here.
You bet.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather is brought to you by your friends at Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off 540 at the 751 exit. It is, what is the temperature right now? Up a degree, 44 in Chapel Hill, 43 in Carborough. Sunny skies all day, high today in the low 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 50. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a 50% chance of showers, maybe even a thunderstorm in the afternoon tomorrow. Our high tomorrow in the low 80s. That's more like summertime. Tomorrow night, we have a 50-50 chance of showers and a low in the upper 40s. And then on Wednesday, a really nice sunny day. Not as warm, though. High about 70. So some pretty good weather on the way.
Ron Stuntz in the morning and progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 8:19. Chapel Hill Carborough school officials say in order to hold off a new construction, they need money from the county now to start planning school expansion projects. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Chapel Hill Carborough school officials plan to ask Orange County commissioners for $750,000 to jumpstart planning for major renovations at three schools.
We're recommending that the board consider as a request to the county commissioners for planning money, $750,000 in planning money, to begin the process of designing a project so that we're shovel-ready if and when the bond referendum occurs.
That's Assistant Superintendent Todd LaFreeze. Administrators are hoping to delay the need for new schools by instead expanding some of the older, smaller schools in the district. But LaFreeze told the board the timing of those renovations will be key.
I think what folks recognize is that the intention behind this whole recommendation is to delay new schools. And we can only do that if we begin creating capacity now, because the district's going to grow, and before you know it, we're going to be at a position where we're unable to phase projects, we're unable to move forward in some of these capacity building recommendations that are elementary schools specifically. It would basically be too late.
County commissioners have begun discussing a possible bond package to help pay for the multi-million dollar renovation plan, but that may not make it to the ballot until 2016.
Depending on when that bond referendum might be, it may be too late for us in terms of being able to phase the project properly before we're in the mode that we've been familiar with, which is needing to build a new school.
The school board voted unanimously last week to request $750,000 from the county to cover planning and design for three projects. The money would pay for architectural design and preparation to expand Ephesus and Sewell Elementary Schools and renovate the Lincoln Center to create a preschool facility. The school board will discuss the proposal at a joint meeting with county commissioners on April 29th. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
News around town this morning. Congratulations to the ethics team at East Chapel Hill High School, winner of the national championship of this year's second annual National High School Ethics Bowl. UNC's Parr Center for Ethics played host to the Ethics Bowl on April 4th and 5th. 18 schools from around the nation came to Chapel Hill to compete. Competitors, if that word is even appropriate, spent a month preparing for the event, researching hypothetical cases inspired by 15 highly contentious ethical questions. Students were judged on their ability to present their ideas carefully and engage respectfully and productively with their opponents. You know, the way we all ought to be judged. Coached by Dan Murphy, East Chapel Hill High School's team features James Creason, Maggie Hassel, Carla Traconis, Kendall Chan, and Aditi Goyle. The team has been in existence for 4 years and has won four consecutive state championships. 8:22 at WCHL. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning, I'm Rod Stutz. The North Carolina baseball team avoided a series sweep on Sunday afternoon by downing top-ranked Virginia 4-2 at Davenport Field in Charlottesville, thanks to a two-run home run blast by Michael Russell. With that win, the Tar Heels improved to 23-17 in the season and 10-11 in ACC action. Cavs are now 33-7 overall, 16-5 in conference play. Carolina had a great opportunity to capture Game 1 of the ACC series in Charlottesville, as UNC ace Trent Thornton was outstanding as usual. He was edged by UVA hurler Nathan Kirby 3-2. In Game 2 of the series, Tar Heel junior Benton Moss allowed just 3 hits in 7 2/3 innings, but the Carolina bats failed to back him up as Virginia secured the series with a 3-1 victory on Saturday. Easter Sunday went to the Tar Heels with sophomore reliever Riley Hovis closing the door on the mound by dismissing the final 11 Cavalier hitters he faced. It was Carolina's first triumph over a number one team since the sweep of Virginia back in 2011. Next up for the Tar Heels is a Tuesday visit to East Carolina. They'll take on the Pirates in Greenville. Bobby Hunley of UNC Athletics joins us now, and Carolina didn't get to win the series against Virginia in Charlottesville, but it was really nice to salvage a victory yesterday.
Yeah, it really felt like one of the biggest wins of the season to go in and get a win against the number one team in the country. But I think the most important thing that came out of the weekend was the idea that after three games against the top-ranked team in the land, you really felt like the Tar Heels were right there competing in all three games.
Once again, Trent Thornton outstanding on Friday, and Tar Heels really had an opportunity to win that one, but a low-scoring affair, and the bats were not all that active on Friday and certainly not on Saturday as well.
Yes, certainly two of the best pitchers in the conference, if not the country, on Friday, and Thornton and Nathan Kirby of Virginia. But the tail of the tape all weekend was who could find a two-run homer, and it was Virginia on Friday and Saturday, and then Michael Russell and the Tar Heels on Sunday.
You can't say enough about Riley Hovis and the way he performed shutting the door on the Cavaliers yesterday.
Yeah, 11 up, 11 down for Hovis. Only needed 30 pitches to do it, and this came after on Wednesday against Elon. He went 3 up, 3 down with runners on the corners and nobody out to sort of set the stage for a big rally win there.
Another big weekend series coming up against Virginia Tech, but between now and then we have the trip to East Carolina tomorrow. What do the Tar Heels hope to accomplish in that game against the Pirates?
Well, a big midweek this week, because not only you go down to Greenville against a team that's become a rival in East Carolina, but a home game on Wednesday against Liberty, who is quietly putting together one of the best seasons in the country. They're 31-9 and in the top 20 in the RPI, so a real big opportunity for the Tar Heels to get a resume-boosting win twice in the midweek before hosting the Hokies on Friday.
After that win yesterday in Charlottesville, it would seem that Carolina has some momentum to build on, and this could end up being a really outstanding week if they're able to win these two games in the middle of the week and then go into that series for the weekend really strong.
Absolutely, and a chance to get back above 500 in the league at 10-11. The difference between 10-11 and 9-12, if the Tar Heels can't get it done yesterday, just seems really big. So a chance to get above 500 with the Hokies coming to town this weekend is huge.
Well, Bobby Hundley, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
No problem.
It is 8:25 at WCHL. In other sports yesterday in Carolina, North Carolina men's track and field team came extremely close to winning its first ACC championship since 1999. That was on Saturday in Chapel Hill. The men's team outscored all other teams in the final day of competition, finishing with 87 points. The championship came down to the final event in the meet. Heading into the 4x400 relay, Florida State held a 7-point advantage over Carolina. C.O. Ways crossed the finish line first for Carolina in the anchor leg, but the Tar Heels finished 3 points shy of the title. Sprint's coach Steve Rubin said he'd never been around a group of guys that fought that hard in that situation. They just didn't give up. He says he thinks it was partially the desire to win the meet. It was partially the fact that they were running at home and the home crowd was there for them. And he just says they have a lot of pride. Earlier in the meet, Tar Heel athlete R.J. Alawanle repeated as a 400-meter hurdle champion, running a new personal best 50.23 to capture the individual title. 8:26 at WCHL. Of course, Boston Marathon going on this morning. They will start it a little over a half an hour from now up in Boston. And this is one really special coming a year after what happened last year with the bombings at the Boston Marathon. And a lot of Chapel Hillians, a lot of folks with Carolina connections up there participating in the event, including our own Jan Bolick, who's running at the event. A lot of people from around town, Shalane Flanagan, former UNC runner and All-American and Olympian, is there as well. And she could possibly be the first woman to finish the Boston Marathon. We'll have more on that coming up later on in the day. We hope to speak with some of the runners after it's all over at the Boston Marathon. So stay tuned to the afternoon and evening news with Aaron Keck today on WCHL between 3 and 6 p.m. It's 8:27 at WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
It's been a long year, but Boston is ready for the marathon. This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. It's Patriots Day here in Boston, which is the anniversary of the start of the Revolutionary War. There is no school. The Red Sox always play a home game at 11 a.m. And, of course, they've been running this road race called the Boston Marathon for the last 118 years. This one is different for all the reasons we already know. But the turnout and excitement over showing Boston strong is everywhere. Tributes before public events all weekend. 10 times as many sight and curiosity seekers walking down the last 1,000 yards, and hundreds more than usual congregating at the finish line for photos and prayers for all the memorials set up honoring the victims of last year's senseless bombings. While we have heard about the marathon off and on for the last year, my relatives up here tell me that a day has not passed since last April 15th without some news or feature story in one of the many mediums in the city. And Boston has been anticipating this marathon for two reasons: to demonstrate a city can come back stronger than ever, and also to have some sense of closure. A lot is the same as last year, of course. Former UNC long-distance runner Shalane Flanagan is back, trying to improve on her fourth-place finish, and the inflated field of 36,000 runners has the same international and American flavor. from the elite runners who navigate heartbreak hill and finish in less than 2.5 hours, to the thousands and thousands of runners who begin starting at 11 a.m. and take their own sweet time running through 7 towns and cities before finishing on the heart of Boston in front of an estimated 20,000 people lining both sides of Boylston Street, cheering them all on wildly. With all the increased security and scrutiny here, surely this race will start and finish without incident on a beautiful 70-degree day. But for those who witnessed in person and watched on TV, they want to replace that gruesome memory with what Patriots Day here is supposed to be like, a holiday from work and school, the Sox playing early, and the crown jewel of a city stronger than ever, the Boston Marathon. Let the race begin and end the way it's supposed to, with happiness and accomplishment for all. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill wants to hear from you. We would love to invite our clients to share their experiences on our radio and television spots this year, so please share so we can put you on the air. We received this wonderful testimonial from one of our clients regarding his recent service experience with Teresa Kramer and Tracy Williams.
I have both a Porsche and an Outback that are set performance. Teresa Kramer, Porsche advisor, and Tracy Williams, Subaru advisor, are both outstanding individuals who go above and beyond to maintain my vehicles in top condition. I have every confidence in their recommendations.
Thank you so much for your kind words. Everyone saves during our April sales event. You'll find outstanding sales promotions at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, where we sell Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru, plus pre-owned vehicles starting below $6,000. And don't forget about our service center. Not only are our prices exceptional, we also treat you like you're the most important person in our life, because when you step through our doors, you are. That's the performance promise. Visit our virtual showroom and find service coupons at performanceautomall.com, or visit us in person in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-40.
Oh, wow. Look at these pictures of mom and dad from college. Those glasses are frightening.
If you're considering LASIK surgery, check out the experienced team at the UNC Kidner Eye Center.
No kidding. Those glasses are enormous.
We offer the highest quality laser solutions and the best technology available.
Kind of makes you wonder what we'll look like when we're their age.
Call us to schedule a screening today. 30 years from now, you may very well thank us again. The UNC Kidner Eye Center. Call 919-445-2020 or visit us at unci.org.
For years, the brokers at Weaver Street Realty were known as the Muddy Boots Land Team. They still call themselves that. They can read surveys. They know septics. They know wells. Whether it's an in-town lot or a 100-acre tract, they will put on their muddy boots and walk land with you through an unmatched level of expertise and service. The Weaver Street team has earned customers for life through repeat business and referrals. They listen with compassion and act with confidence. Stop by on Main Street in Carrboro or check them out at weaverstreetrealty.com.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Love Chapel Hill. It's over half off. Tickets to the Love Live concert on April 25th, available now. Love Live is a fantastic concert series presented to you by Love Chapel Hill, featuring up-and-coming artists. Choose between purchasing 6 tickets for $24 or 10 for $36, and come out on the 25th to see rising Americana folk stars The Vespers, local artist Delta Sun, and special guest Priscilla Townsend, under the stars at The Foundry in Chapel Hill. It's available for limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather, brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best tasting fountain drinks in town, made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees, guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. It is a good to go weather day. It is really going to be nice today. Lots of sunshine. Right now it is 44 degrees in Chapel Hill, but our high today up around 72 or 73. Tonight partly cloudy with a low down around 50. And then tomorrow we're looking at partly sunny skies, 50-50 chance of showers later this day, and the high tomorrow in the low 80s. Also, a big chance of rain tomorrow night with the lows in the upper 40s. And then on Wednesday, beautiful weather, sunny, not as warm, with the highs in the low 70s.
97.9 FM, WCHL, is Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelboro.com. There's an app for that.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Again, it's 44 degrees, 833 at WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz. The author of the book, Tarnished Heels, How Unethical Actions and Deliberate Deceit at the University of North Carolina Ended the Carolina Way, isn't ready to talk about the book until the release date gets closer. WCHL's Rand Northam has the story.
The book by Rom J. Anderson hit Amazon.com in early April and releases June 15th. Anderson's agent, Barbara Casey, who attended UNC, NC State, and North Carolina Wesleyan, told WCHL that he won't be scheduling interviews until after the release. However, she said he and his publisher will be doing pre-release publicity once the release date gets closer. Anderson says on his blog that he's collaborated on a number of writing projects, but it appears that this is the first book he has authored. Art Chansky of ChapelBurrow.com and host of Art Chansky Sports Notebook on WCHL has written 5 books and is getting ready to come out with his 6th. He has also played a major role in the publishing process of one of his books along with 3 others.
Particularly if you've written a series of books in the past, the publishers will try and capitalize on the author's name by having him on, and then that would sort of build momentum for the new book. With Anderson being a new author, I don't know how much value that would have.
Anderson has been spreading the word about his book through his Twitter handle, at Rob J. Anderson Books, and on Facebook. Most recently, he has pointed out the precise sections of the book in which UNC African and Afro-American administrator Deborah Crowder appears. However, the blog doesn't share what the book says about Crowder. Chansky says it's hard to guess why Anderson and the people he's collaborating with on the book have decided not to release much information about the book right now.
Maybe they're trying to pique the curiosity of people exactly what's in it. Or maybe they're afraid that people will see it and say, oh, this is just a rehash. You know, we've already read this, you know, in the News and Observer and 45 other websites over and over again. You can have a kiss of death, too, to a book before it ever comes out. If it gets out, that there's really nothing special about it.
Dave Ridpath is an associate professor and Kahandas Nadola professor of sports administration at Ohio University. He is one of the authors of The Drake Group, which was started in 1999 by a former professor of Drake University. Its website says its mission is to defend academic integrity in higher education from the corrosive aspects of commercialized college sports. Ridpath joined us last week on WCHL to talk about what academic improprieties he's seen in his years of academia. He reviewed Tarnished Heels and said the book tells the story of how UNC sold its soul for the perceived benefits of athletic glory at the expense of core values and academic integrity. He goes on to say that those actions put Carolina among the worst offenders of academic integrity in intercollegiate athletic history. Anderson's agent, Casey, told WCHL to get in touch again closer to the release date in order to speak with the author. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Don't forget, very important Chapel Hill Town Council meeting tonight. The council could vote on a controversial plan to rezone 190 acres surrounding the Ephesus Church Fordham Boulevard intersection. That meeting starts at 7 o'clock at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. It is expected to be a packed house. This has been a very controversial issue. It's all about zone-based coding or zone-based code. And also, we have a story on National Autism Awareness Month. That's April. One program that supports people with autism started at the University of North Carolina and has served as a model for other assistance programs around the world. Carolina Connections' Jordan Nash has more. You can hear that story on our website at chapelburrow.com. And Carolina Connection, in case you don't know, is the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs every Saturday morning at 8:30 on WCHL during the school year. The final show of the year airs this weekend, and the Year in Review show will air on May 10th. Ladies and gentlemen, the excitement level has just increased because Rand Northam walked back into the studio. It's more than I can bear some days.
Man, you're full of it.
I'm telling you, it's more than I can take. What's happening today at chapelburrow.com?
Well, Kristen Heemster, you've heard her a number of times here on our airwaves, of course.
She's Kristen quite well.
Yeah, she's the host of The Art of Potential on the weekend here on WCHL, joins us for a myriad of other things. But she talks about, in the Art of Potential column that she writes, she says, we are they, them, and someone. So you are someone to everyone. I think it's along those lines.
So. Sort of like I am somebody, but not quite.
Sure, there you go. Perfect.
A little bit different there.
Well, another person you commonly hear on WCHL is the author of Common Science. Of course, every Monday, Jeff Danner talks about something in the world of science and talks well beyond my comprehension level can be.
Mine, but too. He's way over
he
my
He does
head.
A great job of bringing it down to my level at some points, too. He makes it so it's easy for me to read.
Yeah, if you
doesn't
listen,
dumb it down, but he makes it comprehensible.
Exactly. If you listen or if you read carefully, you can understand what he's talking about.
Sure
if
can.
You just pay attention.
That's right.
And just focus on it. And Jeff will be along later on today to
That's
talk
right.
with Art.
Exactly.
With Aaron. I'm sorry.
He's going to Boston to
seems,
talk to Art.
It seems everybody's talking to Art today, so you know.
Well, so today he's talking about The Vanishing of Bees, another multi-part series. This is part one, talking about the vanishing of the bees and talking about honeybees. And there really is a problem out there that that bees, colonies of bees are just essentially dropping dead.
Really?
And they're talking about how it's such a bad thing because, of course, bees are such a vital part to the growth and the life of plant life and everything else.
The circle of life.
Exactly, yeah. They help with pollination, and they're just, I mean, they're part of the circle of life.
You're not exactly only right. that, but they make honey.
They do that, too.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. So the bears would not be very happy.
That's true.
So he talks about that, though, a very serious issue that that many people are talking about. So you'll want to check that out. Also in our photo gallery, Susan Murray, at it again, as she will be this week. Oh, do want to mention, too, that Jeff Danner is going to be hosting one of our forums.
Yeah.
One of our forum hours, talking about the environment coming up this Thursday. So you want to tune in 8 to 6. Join us all day long.
10 hours of our broadcast day devoted
right.
to all the important topics facing our community.
You got that right.
And we hear from everybody during that 10-hour period, and hope you will join us for that.
As mentioned, though, the business after hours at Hickory Tavern is our most recent photo gallery that is up. Susan Murray with another great, great job in photos at the new Hickory Tavern in Carrboro. Mm-hmm. So that's just a preview, just a hint of what's available on our website, chapelboro.com. And it's all available with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
Are you a parrot head?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, certainly. I love Jimmy Buffett.
I have some tickets to give away to Jimmy Buffett show.
That's all right. I'll take them.
Tomorrow night, Walnut
I don't
Creek.
Mind.
You don't want me to give them away on the air?
That's all right.
All right. Well, we give them to Rand then. Never mind. Well, I can't
just
do
kidding.
That.
Yeah,
we're going to give them away to a listener coming up in just a few
That's
minutes
great.
Here on WCHL.
Excellent.
And I'm just going to ask you to identify a song, which just happens to be my favorite Jimmy Buffett song. Don't name any.
Nah, I won't.
But my favorite is coming up.
I'm going to listen in and see what I got.
To that. All right.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
It is 8:41 at WCHL, and a good morning to you.
Hi, I'm a kid. We support Jimmy Doster. Please vote Jimmy Doster for the Durham School Board on May 6th.
Paid for by Vote Jimmy Doster.
Vote Jimmy Doster for Durham School Board. Vote early April 24th through May 3rd at the Durham South Regional Library or downtown Durham at the Board of Elections office.
Hi, I'm a kid. We support Jimmy Doster. Please vote Jimmy Doster for the Durham School Board on May 6th.
Paid for by Vote Jimmy Doster.
Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill wants to hear from you. We would love to invite our clients to share their experiences on our radio and television spots this year, so please share so we can put you on the air. We received this wonderful testimonial from one of our clients regarding his recent service experience with Teresa Kramer and Tracy Williams.
I have both a Porsche and an Outback that are serviced at Performance. Teresa Kramer, Porsche advisor, and Tracy Williams, Subaru advisor, are both outstanding individuals who go above and beyond to maintain my vehicles in top condition. I have every confidence in their recommendations.
Thank you so much for your kind words. Everyone saves during our April sales event. You'll find outstanding sales promotions at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, where we sell Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru, plus pre-owned vehicles starting below $6,000. And don't forget about our service centers. Not only are our prices exceptional, we also treat you like you're the most important person in our life, because when you step through our doors, you are. That's the Performance promise. Visit our virtual showroom and find service coupons at performanceautomall.com, or visit us in person in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-40.
Beethoven, what's wrong?
Ah, I'm trying to compose my ode to joy, but how can I be joyous when I'm so hungry?
Why don't you try Bread Mints? They've got everything from sandwiches to scrambled eggs. It's my favorite spot in town.
Gott in Himmel, that's it! Breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily. Lots of food, not much to pay. Go to Bread Mints, come to Bread Mints. Eat at Bread Mints every day.
Bread Mints Restaurant, a Chapel Hill tradition.
You're a genius, Beethoven.
Dankeschön.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind.
Hi, this is Michelle at the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for the first Fridays on the Front Porch of the season on April 25th, starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge or reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInnEvents.com.
8:43 at WCHL, Ron Stutz. It is Monday here, and Muriel Willeman has just walked into the studio, so the excitement level is cranked up another notch. And first of all, Muriel, it was good to see you yesterday out at the Shikori Hills Grassroots Festival.
It was a beautiful day, Ron. It was really great to see you, too. What a treat.
It really was. It really was a lot of fun. If you missed the Shikori Hills Festival this year, put it on your calendar to go next year.
It was pretty much a dance-a-thon for me yesterday. Between the Zydeco and the swing to round out the night. It was really fun.
I didn't dance any yesterday, but I really enjoyed the music, and it's just a great experience out there. Although there was a little mud.
It was a tad muddy, but not as bad as Saturday, I'm quite certain.
Can you find
the remnants?
Can you find a way to recycle some of that mud?
I think it needs to stay put, actually. It serves its purpose just fine where it is. I think it got tracked, probably at least a half mile down the road, though, as far as I could tell. Couldn't even see the yellow line when I left.
That's exactly
there
right.
There was a lot that got taken elsewhere.
Yeah. What? I know that you're here to talk about recycling. You're always here to talk about recycling.
Got some special events
Shred-a-thons and everything else. So, Muriel, take it away. Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, it's really about special events. You know, the spring season just takes off like a rocket. You know, definitely, not so much in like a lamb, but we're tearing through some stuff. Literally on April 24th and April 26th, we're having our annual spring shred-a-thon. The one on April 24th is going to be held at University Mall near the Old Dillard's. Those of you who don't know where the Old Dillard's used to be, it's on the corner of Willow Drive and Estes Drive.
The opposite end of the mall from Southern Season.
Exactamo. That's the spot. And it'll be really hard to miss because we expect big crowds. We always get a big crowd. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine was joking, if you want to have an event and you really want people to show up, just throw a shred-a-thon on it and people will come in droves. Last year in the fall shred-a-thon, we had 600 people that brought close to 1,500 tons of paper to be shredded. And of course, all that paper is recycled, so we want people to avoid bringing any metal or plastic. But let me get the details down. April 24th at University Mall, and then on April 26th at Hampton Point in Hillsboro, behind the Home Depot, we have a 24-hour recycling drop-off site there. It's a perfect spot to park a truck and have people line up to get their confidential paper safely shredded.
And you have a chance to watch them shred it, too, while you're there, right?
You can. Both events are from 10 to 2. Mm-hmm. And so during that time frame, if you want, the trucks have a little camera on board, and you can watch the carts get lifted up and tilted, and there's a bit of a shake, and then you can actually see the paper get shredded. If you want, some people, they're like, no, thanks, take it away, I'm done with it, and they move on. But others, they really want to see that deal done. And it's fun for kids too to just check it out.
How do folks find out more about this and get all the details in case they can't remember everything you said?
Well, they can certainly call us. Our phone number is 919-968-2788, or they can email recycling@orangecountync.gov. And we'll give you whatever information you need. But we do have some limits, Ron, just because it is such a popular event. We want everybody to come to have an opportunity to shred their paper. So we limit it to 5 banker-sized boxes per person, and only 1 visit per person, please. And it is for Orange County residents and also small businesses if they have some paper to be shredded, but they have to stick to the limit, too. So only 5 boxes or bags per participant, and only 1 visit per event.
Well, a banker-sized box is pretty big. You can get a lot of paper in there.
Yeah, you can get a lot of papers and plenty of files. And, you would think that, year after year after year, maybe the demand would go down somehow, but it just doesn't. So we're expecting a good crowd, so please be patient. If you come, it's at no cost to the participants that come. And we do have some great partners. The Chapel Hill Police Department really helps out at University Mall. And, of course, they let us use their parking parking lot, which is no small thing. Mm-hmm. And their staff also has just been great supporters of this event for years now. And in Hillsborough, the Hillsborough Police Department and the Sheriff's Department have been long-term supporters. Just, you know, to kind of keep an eye on things. You know, any paper that shows up there, we want to make sure that it gets, you know, managed safely and shredded completely so that, you know, everybody leaves satisfied with the deal. But and last year, you know, it was pouring down rain. We still had crowds, and we even ran out of room on the truck. Hopefully that won't happen this year, but, you know, sometimes it does.
Muriel, I know that I'm going to see you this coming weekend as well at the community dinner. Are you there?
Oh, you know what?
You in there? You're not there?
Ron, I have a conflict.
Uh-oh.
I am so sorry.
First time in history.
First time in history. You know, I love the community dinner. We have been providing trash-free services there. You know, Neri's Levy, of course, and Mama Dips and all those great people. They just do a fantastic job of bringing the community together. I really love that event. And I'm sorry that I'm gonna miss it this year. I will be there in spirit. Blair Pollack will be there instead. And he's also going to be talking on your 10 hours of, you know, local import.
Our forum coming up on Thursday.
That's right. Coming up on Thursday. He's going to step away from the Shred-a-thon for just a couple hours and participate in that. So there's a lot going on. It's also coming close to the end of the student school year, as you may or may not be aware. You know, so when the students pull out of town, you know, there can be a lot of waste that's associated with student move out. And so we try to handle that. This is our second annual reuse rodeo. We want to have not just students. It is targeted for student move out, both in time and location. The times will be April 30th through May 3rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. At the Hargrave Center on the north side community of Chapel Hill. Their lower lot on Mitchell Lane will have some nonprofits with booths and trucks set up to collect used but useful materials from students as they're rolling out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Or anybody that wants to participate, but the PTA thrift store will be collecting clothing, housewares, you know, dishes and table settings, or bed linens, things like that. So long as it's in good condition, furniture, small appliances, lamps, microwaves, so long as they're in working order. Really, any sort of clothing and housewares. The IFC, the Interfaith Council, will be collecting unopened food and also personal care products. You know, unopened shampoo or deodorant. You know, things like that. And the Hargrave Center has a fall event for back to school for young kids. So any notebooks, pens, papers, calculators, things like that, school related supplies, will go back to the Hargrave Center to provide supplies for their fall event. And the Compass Center collects cell phones and hopefully chargers. Chargers are good, but if it's just a cell phone, that's fine too. For their clients, they help women and families in need. And last but not least, some computer equipment. You know, we'll triage it. If it can go to training programs, we'll send it that way. And if not, we'll recycle it.
All right.
So it's a big event. We're hoping to capture a lot of material, some great local nonprofits that benefit from reuse. You know, reuse houses people, it feeds people, it furnishes their homes, it clothes their bodies, and, you know, we have some great organizations that really help out. So we want students moving out to not waste all those resources and leave it at the curb. That's just, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you very much.
How's that for my tear? You bet. My pleasure.
We can just get you to open up a little bit, Muriel.
I'll try.
And talk about these things.
Try not to be so shy. Great.
Thanks very much. It's always good to talk to you. It's 852 at WCHL.
Don't miss all the exciting Carolina baseball action this weekend as the Tar Heels host Virginia Tech for a three-game ACC series at Bosch Amherst Stadium. On Saturday, kids take the field with the team and fireworks follow the game. And on Sunday, kids run the bases after the game. First pitches are scheduled for Friday at 7, Saturday at 6, and Sunday at 1 in the afternoon.
This is head coach Mike Fox. Come out to Bosch Amherst Stadium this weekend and catch all the action as we take on Virginia Tech.
Tickets and game day information available at GoHeels.com.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle at the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for the first Fridays on the Front Porch of the season on April 25th, starting at 5 p.m.
Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge or reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInnEvents.com.
853 at WCHL. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. I mentioned a few moments ago that we have a concert coming up at Walnut Creek Amphitheater in Raleigh at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And this is a message for all the parrot heads in the audience. What do cheeseburgers in paradise and flip-flops in the sand bring to mind? The Jimmy Buffett, the one and only, is coming to Raleigh tomorrow night. And I've got a pair of tickets right now to give away to this great concert coming up tomorrow night. All you have to do is be caller. Well, I'll tell you what, be the first caller to identify this song right here. This just happens to be my favorite Jimmy Buffett tune. Be the first caller at 919-929-WCHL to call in and tell me the name of this song by Jimmy Buffett, and I will give you a couple of tickets to see him in concert.
Mother, Mother Ocean, I have heard you call, wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all, you've seen it all. Watched the man who rode you switch from sails to steam. In your belly you hold the treasures you have ever seen. Most of them dream. Most of them dream.
Well, hey, still no correct answer. Someone said son of a sailor, but that is not it. All right. If you can call me right now at 919-929-WCHL and tell me the name of this song by Jimmy Buffett, I'll give you a pair of tickets to see him in concert tomorrow night at Walnut Creek Amphitheater in Raleigh. 919-929-WCHL is your number to call right now. I need the name of the song.
This is Stacy Chapman at the Print Shop in University Mall. We are going green just in time for Earth Day with a fantastic line of eco-friendly frames. To celebrate, we're having a sale offering you 20% off all custom orders with these EcoCare frames now through April 30th. Carefully designed to have the smallest footprint possible on the environment, these eco-friendly frames are as responsible as they are beautiful. Now through April 30th, The Print Shop, for over 40 years, your art, print, and framing store in University Mall.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Jane McPherson, Cedars charter member since 2004. Here's what Jane had to say.
I have friends at all the local retirement communities, and they are most impressed with the fact that here at the Cedars, we have a car and driver at our disposal. But what I want to talk about now is financial stability, which we take very seriously here at the Cedars. People of our generation are conservative about how they treat the money they have earned. We don't like debt, either for ourselves individually or when we buy into a place. It goes against our values. It is a unique feature that the Cedars is entirely debt-free. Everything we pay goes toward our care and sustenance. Not a penny goes for debt service or interest on loans. And that is a major reason why the Cedars has been the right choice for us.
Thanks, Jane. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
Always on the go? Let the design team at Best Tile make your next remodeling project a breeze. Our personal designers are here to help make your vision a reality. No muss, no fuss. And with a huge selection from around the world, you're sure to find the perfect tile right here without having to scour the triangle. With Best Tile, you don't have to put your life on hold to make your home beautiful again. Best Tile. Local store, global selection. At the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road. Or find us online at besttile.com.
Hey, listen, Michael Edwards called in. He was the first one to get the name of the song. It's A Pirate Looks at 40 by Jimmy Buffett. I consider that to be his best song.
Yes, I
don't know what you think. You probably have a different opinion. There are so many great songs Jimmy Buffett has done. He's going to be at Walnut Creek Amphitheater in Raleigh tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, and Michael Edwards is going to be going. Congratulations, Michael, and thank you for listening.
Arriving too late.
share of grass. 8:58 at WCHL. Good morning.
Food trucks, bouncy house, live music, games, and more. Come to Table's third annual Food Truck Rodeo at Orange United Methodist Church in Chapel Hill on Saturday, May 3rd at 3 p.m. 10% of all truck sales will be donated to Table, a nonprofit that provides healthy, emergency food aid to hungry Chapel Hill and Carrboro children. To see participating food trucks and more, visit tablenc.org. Thanks, WCHL, for caring.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Love Chapel Hill. It's over half off. Tickets to Love Live Concert Series on April 25th, available now. Love Live is a fantastic concert series presented to you by Love Chapel Hill, featuring up-and-coming artists. Choose between purchasing 6 tickets for $24 or 10 for $36. And come out on the 25th to see rising Americana folk stars The Vespers, local artist Delta Sun, and special guest Priscilla Townsend under the stars at the Forest Theater in Chapel Hill. It's available for limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carver Weather brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Beautiful day on the way, 45 degrees in Chapel Hill, warming up already. Look for a lot of sunshine today with a high in the low 70s.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani.
I want to welcome you all to the best marathon we've ever had.
Governor Deval Patrick in Boston.